Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dan Eads Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News and brought to you by IMC Concerts. Today's guest is gospel music royalty. If you know anything at all about gospel music, you know the name Blackwood. Today, we have none other than Billy Blackwood. Billy, welcome.
Thank you, Danny. Great to be with you.
We are glad that you are with us, and let's get the obvious material out of the way first. What is going on in the world of the Blackwood Brothers today?
You know, we are just continuing to do what we've done, but at the same time trying to blaze a couple of new trails, actually old trails, if I can put it that way. Our latest CD, let me back up and say, two CDs ago, I really felt like the Lord said, I want you to do a complete CD of old songs. So really what I did was I looked through Gaither DVDs.
Okay.
And I picked about 12 to 15 titles, like, you know, that just about anybody would know. Mm-hmm. And probably everybody would know. Everybody could sing along with. And I went to Scott Godsey at Daywind. And I said, Scott, I want our new CD to be all old songs. And, you know, most record companies want you to cut some new stuff because they, you know, they have a stake in that from publishing.
Right.
So it's a little out of the norm not to do anything that they don't have a piece of. But that's what all the old songs would represent, was them not making anything on royalty. So that's a little bit of a departure. So I said, I'd like for our new CD to be all old songs. And I want to do it with just a piano, the way the group used to do it back in the 50s and 60s. And here's the list. So I put it on the desk in front of Scott. And I said, can we do that? And he kind of looked at me like a, you know, calf looking at a new gate.
Uh-huh.
And said, well, sure, let's give it a shot. It's been the best-selling CD we've done in a long time. And,
well, you know, that's proof that a good song never goes away.
A good song's a good song's a good song. You know what we did? He Touched Me. We did standards. It's all classics. In fact, mm-hmm. it's called Classics Volume 1. We did He Touched Me, Who Am I, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, What a Day That Will Be, If That Isn't Love, I'd Rather Have Jesus, The Eastern Gate. I mean, you know, without him, I mean, just standard after standard after standard.
Right. It's the hit set.
It really is. And I didn't, you know, and I honestly, and it's not false humility, I tell people I'm not smart enough to have figured out that, hey, this is a good thing to do. I just really felt like that's what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. Well, people are just eating it up. So then it comes time for another CD. And I felt like the Lord said, just let's take this a step further. And let's just don't pick 10 great old songs. Let's pick 10 great old hymns and do them a cappella. And I had, when I first joined the group about 10 years ago, I had arranged It Is Well With My Soul a cappella for the group. And we did that occasionally. But then I kept adding, about every year or two, I'd add another one for our repertoire just to kind of, you know, keep some fresh stuff coming in. And I mean, you know, we pretty much have an inexhaustible supply of great old hymns. And mm-hmm. so that was the norm. Well, we got to where we had about five or six under our belt. And I felt like for the new CD, we would it would just be a great thing to do 10 old hymns. So we did them a cappella, added one new hymn in Christ Alone on there. But we did I Sing the Mighty Power of God, the old Isaac Watts classic that the Couriers arrangement of. Mm-hmm. He Hideth My Soul, the old Blackwood Brothers arrangement of that from the 70s that Tommy Fairchild did. And just, you know, Power in the Blood and just 10 great old hymns. And that is going over great, too. People are loving it because it's just so, it's unique.
Right.
But they're just, you know, you just can't beat those songs. Nothing against the new songs. There's a lot of great. In fact, we included one new hymn, as I said, mm-hmm. In Christ Alone, which is a great, great song on the hymn, a cappella hymn. So there's 11 songs, 10 old, one new. But that's what's going on with us. We are just, we're finding, and I'm not disparaging anybody else, and I kind of want to keep this a secret, so I hope none of the other groups are listening. But people file by our table and say, I could understand every word you sang. I could sing along with 90% of the songs you sang. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Please don't stop doing what you're doing. So, you know, again, I'm not smart enough to come up with this from a marketing standpoint. I just felt like this is what God would have us to do, and it's resonating with people. So that's kind of the current thing for the Blackwood Brothers. We're, you know, Butch Owens has been our bass singer now 7 years. Wayne's been with us since Dirt, Wayne Little, our tenor.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Mattingly's been with us just a couple of years, replaced Mike Helwig, who couldn't travel anymore because of ALS, who, by the way, for all those who listen and have read Mike's column and know Mike, Mike's doing really well. He's graduated from a wheelchair back to a walker. I talked to him a couple of days ago. He had kind of strained a muscle because he'd climbed a ladder, which no one with ALS has ever done. So,
right. So but praise at the same God. Time, you and I are not surprised at all that Michael climbed a ladder.
Yeah, you know, if it's Mike, I wouldn't be surprised at anything. Exactly. I mean, the guy's an amazing guy. And so praise God for that. We've been hoping and praying since day one that he would regain his lost strength and muscle usage and just continue to improve. And that's what he's doing. And, you know, I think it's a combination of prayers and just Mike's never say die attitude.
Right.
So anyway, but that's a little quick update on Mike. So that's where we're all. We're getting ready for the Memphis Quartet show next week, and I don't know when is this going to air, but
probably about a month after the Memphis Quartet show. So you can back up and say, "Well, we had a great time at the Memphis
Quartet."
There you go. All
so
right.
We're getting ready for that. Mike's going to come with us and probably make a guest appearance there. So.
Well, you know, the Blackwood Brothers, as you were talking about the old songs, of course. You know, the Blackwood Brothers is one of the most established names in the world of gospel music. Very few names go back any further than Blackwood. And in some regards, you as a quartet manager, you have the task of maintaining and honoring that legacy, that heritage, knowing that a large portion of the audience out there is expecting you to deliver mm-hmm. what your dad, James Blackwood, delivered several years ago. But at the same time, you know you've got a young artist who they're expecting something a little bit new.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the quartet managers out there, you are probably the one who has to walk that very fine line sometimes between old and new. But you've done it successfully because obviously the Blackwood Brothers are still on the road today. The date book is full. People are wanting the recording still. I mean, everything's going really good for the group. And it's very fitting that things are on the on a very high level for the group right now, because in just a matter of weeks, we will be celebrating your dad's 100th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had he lived to the year 2019, he would be turning 100 in August. What's the exact
August
date?
August 4th.
So if your dad was still with us and he was looking at what was going on in the world of the Blackwood Brothers and how you're running the group and the group's presentation on stage, what do you think he would say?
Wow, that's a great question. I tell you what I hear a lot from people, and you know, primarily older people who knew my dad, who've seen the group, who are you know big fans, long time, decade old fans, mm-hmm. decades old fans. A lot of people say your dad would be proud of what you're doing. Something I've realized that may not exactly come to the forefront of everybody's mind to answer that question, but something that comes to my mind, I've realized as I've gotten older that as I look back on Daddy's career and I look back on what he did on stage, it's dawned on me that while he was obviously a great singer, a great MC, great leader, great manager, the thing that I'm starting to realize was more a part of his stage, how can I say this, management, than I realized was his emphasis on ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get that growing up, but as I am now in the position he was in, I find myself focused far more on ministry. And, you know, we rehearse and we try to pick great songs, right. And we rehearse to try to perform them well, and you know all of those components. But I find myself saying this more and more often when people compliment us on boy, we really felt the presence of the Lord here tonight, or thank you so much for you know not just the singing but for the ministry. Yes, I find myself saying more and more often, you know, if we were just here to sing, I'd go home. I'd find something else to do.
Right.
Because it's about far more than the music, as wonderful as that is. If we're not touching people's hearts, if the songs are not reaching people and lifting them and ministering to their hearts and their spirits and helping them get through a tough time, and, you know, it's just a concert.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm finding as I get older, I am more and more and more about ministry and people's hearts being touched. And that's why I think that's one of the reasons the Lord wanted us to do If That Isn't Love, and He Touched Me, and what a day that will be. And, you know, for our clientele, there's an old saying, dance with the one what brung you, you know? For our clientele, for the people that come to our concerts, primarily 90% of them, they know all these songs. They've heard them all their lives. And the reason they have such a place in their hearts is because those songs have ministered to them at places and junctures and situations and circumstances where they needed to hear from God. And someone sings, you know, Shackled by a Heavy Burden.
Right. those old songs bring comfort. And there is no, let's put it this way, gospel music has no better friend than life experience. You're listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News Magazine and sponsored by the great people at IMC Concerts, the premier concert and event promotions company for the very best in gospel, bluegrass, and classic country music. We want you to make your plans now to attend the Pennsylvania Gospel Music Festival, held every Labor Day weekend in the heart of Pennsylvania Amish country. This event will feature many of your favorite artists, and it's held at the American Music Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit GardenspotPromotions.com, click on the festival link, or call 800-648-4102. Billy Blackwood is our guest today, and of course, he is a member, as we said earlier, of gospel music royalty. His dad was the late, great James Blackwood, and he has grown up being a Blackwood ever since. Isn't that how it works? I think so. But anyway, Billy, before being a vital part of the Blackwood Brothers like he is now, he also spent some time in some other forms of gospel music. He was a soloist for a long time, pastored a church, and I believe he is also the only guest of Danny's Diary that has been a member of the Elvis Presley Show along the way. Back in the mid-70s, early 70s, he was a member of the group called Voice, and that was a vocal group that Elvis added to his stage shows. This was been about
73, 74.
Now, what did you do with that group?
I played drums with them. You know, I made my entry into gospel music playing drums with J.D. Summer and the Stamps when I was 15.
Right. As a matter of fact, I believe you told me a story one day about maybe one of your earliest appearances as a drummer in gospel music. You just kind of fell off the stage a little bit.
Well, actually, that was one of my last, well, it was my last appearance with the Blackwood Brothers. After I left the Stamps, I joined the Blackwood Brothers playing drums. And, you know, at that time, I saw a lot of groups, secular groups, and their drums, and the drummer was always up on a riser behind everybody. Well, I wanted to do that and mimic them. So I built my own riser, 3-foot riser, 2 4x8 sheets of plywood, you know, and covered it. And so that's what I set my drum kit up on. So I was sitting back there playing my little heart out for the Blackwood Brothers. And at the end of the set, I stepped back to take a bow and just stepped right off the riser. Slammed the stage,
and he left a lasting impression.
It was a memorable exit. It was.
Well, okay. Since we touched on the subject of Elvis, I know somebody right now who is listening to this podcast has this question: what was Elvis really like?
You could not be around him without loving him. And is my 2 cents on that. You know, he and Daddy were good friends. He had tremendous respect for Daddy. And when I was a kid, he would come to the concerts in Memphis and sit backstage in the wings and just loved gospel music, loved the Blackwood Brothers. They were his mom's favorite group. And you probably know this factoid, but when she passed away, when Gladys died, Elvis and Vernon chartered a plane to go pick up the Blackwood Brothers. I think they were in North Carolina to bring them back to sing for her funeral because they were huge Blackwood Brothers fans, as she was in particular. Mm-hmm. But just traveling with him, we really spent more time with him off the road than we did on the road. I mean, we toured with him. We did Las Vegas and Lake Tahoe. But in between tours, he just liked to have the guys come hang out and sing. Donnie Sumner, Cheryl Nielsen, and Tim Beatty were the vocals in our group, vocalists. And he just always loved to have people around to sing. And so he would fly our group. And even though I wasn't one of the singers, I was part of the group, so I was expected and privileged to get to go. He'd fly us out to California or get us to Memphis and just to hang out. And when he wanted to sing, everybody was ready to sing. But just you just, again, you just couldn't be around him without, it didn't take long to get beyond the who he was, the mm-hmm. superstar, to realize he was just a genuinely nice guy. And he loved people, loved to give, loved to bless people. And, you know, just to this day, I miss him.
You're in the middle of writing your biography, your autobiography. And you've shared several pages with me, and there's some great stuff in there. This is not going to be a spoiler alert or anything like that. But from the, you talk about transitioning from those days with Elvis, getting more back into church work, and as you readily admit, those were not some of your best testimony days,
right?
You know, but they made a great testimony for now. But you've come a long way, and the story behind you coming to the Blackwood Brothers of today, it's fairly fascinating how all of that came together. And if you don't mind, just give us a nutshell version of how you had no intentions,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, there you were with the Blackwood Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmy, my brother, was leading the group at the time. Randy Bird was singing bass. Wayne was singing tenor. And a guy named Brad White was singing baritone, playing piano. And they were getting ready to do, they had signed with Daywind. And Daywind is located in Hendersonville, outside of Nashville. I happen to have resided in Hendersonville for 40 years. But I actually moved up here to join the group Voice, mm-hmm. Elvis's group, even though he lived in Memphis. The group lived in Hendersonville. So that's where I came to live and stayed there. So Jimmy comes up to meet with Ed Leonard, the president of Daywind. And Ed had actually been a young man in the youth group that I pastored. So I knew Ed from the time he was Eddie. He was a teenager in my youth group. And Jimmy was going to meet with him, and I said, hey, do you mind if I tag along? And he said, no, that'd be great. So I went to the meeting, ended up contributing some thoughts and ideas about that they wanted to do a 75th anniversary record. And that was part of the signing deal with Daywind. So we got there, and it clicked. I offered to play drums on the record because I'd been the Blackwood Brothers' only drummer, and I'd done a ton of session work through the years. So they said, hey, that's a great idea. Well, then I offered, because none of them arranged vocals, I offered to arrange the vocals, which I did. And so I got really deeply involved in the record, and I was going to play drums on the record. On the eve of the recording, Brad decided he wanted to go just solo and do his own thing, which was fine. But it left him on the literal eve of the recording with no baritone singer. And since I had arranged the vocals, I knew the part intimately, so I sang it. And I think the collective light bulb just kind of came on for everybody, and they went, you know what? You got the right last name. maybe you should consider joining this entourage. So I did.
Well, you know, there is proof positive that if you volunteer enough, you get stuck with it. So anyway, Billy Blackwood, I think I can safely say this for a lot of people, not only in the audience, but also on the performer side of the microphone, we're glad that you got stuck with it. you've been a big help and inspiration and an encourager to so many people in gospel music, and we're all glad that you're a part of it. So thank you for being here today. We appreciate you being on Danny's Diary. And if you want to keep up with the Blackwood Brothers, where do they need to find you at?
BlackwoodBrothers.com is our website, and our Facebook page is The Blackwood Brothers Quartet.
All right, folks, that's it. Another episode of Danny's Diary is in the books. Make sure you look for the announcement of our next podcast. It's coming up soon. Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News and brought to you by IMC Concerts. Our engineer today, Troy Peach, and music provided by Eli Fortner.